ER101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER101, our medical news of the week after the tragic death of comic legend Robin Williams. Once again, there are highlights of our national problem with suicide and depression. And my next guest is an expert in that field, Dr. Louise Andrew. She is an emergency physician, and she is also an attorney. And she has a website called Black Bile, where she actually deals with wellness, suicide, and depression amongst physicians. So thank you, Dr. Andrew. I appreciate you being here.
You're quite welcome, Lee.
So, you know, talk about this. It's, you know, all emergency room doctors at one time or another have treated patients that come in and they have to assess their risk of suicide. And, you know, it's such a tough illness for family members, too. And I don't want people to think that we're saying, oh, these were the signs, you missed them. You know, there's enough guilt associated with those left behind. But there are some things that you can think about if you're worried about suicide in a loved one.
Yes, of course there are. And I think the first consideration is that so many of the U.S. population, in fact, the world population, actually have depression. Probably in the U.S., 20 to 25% of us have experienced or will experience some depression within a lifetime. And if you are depressed and you don't realize it, two-thirds of people do not realize that they even have a clinically treatable disorder, then the risk of suicide is very high. We have probably 39,000 or so suicides in the United States per year, and at least 500,000 attempts. So it's a very common condition that's often not recognized even by the sufferer, let alone by the family. And of course, the end stage is a lethal condition, or can be, if it's not adequately treated, a lethal condition, which is suicide. Now, in the emergency department, we do receive an awful lot of people who probably are depressed, and some of it we will not recognize, but many times the families do say, or the patient does say, there's something wrong with me, I'm not feeling right. And if that opportunity exists, it could be the last, or maybe even the first, as well as the last opportunity for intervention by the medical system in a potentially suicidal patient.
Mm-hmm.
So what
are you saying that when they come in for some other problem, not coming in complaining of suicidal thoughts or a psychiatric issue, they're coming in, say, someone elderly, coming in not eating, things like that?
Yes, the symptoms can be very nonspecific. And in the elderly, which is a very good point to make, they're especially hard to diagnose, but they can be such things as not eating, not sleeping, not feeling that they have any usefulness in their lives anymore. They may just phrase it as, I don't feel good, doctor. And this is an opportunity to explore, well, you know, how have you been feeling? What do you think are your plans going to be for the future? And do you have any feelings of hopelessness that things are not going to improve for you? So these are the kinds of questions that people get asked when they show up in the ER. And it can be for other types of things as well. For example, an abused spouse or a person who has been injured by another person or who has accidentally injured themselves. All these are instances where, in fact, the underlying problem could be a serious depression. So it isn't just when they come in and say, I'm depressed, because many people don't recognize that. They may come in with a chronic alcohol or drug dependence problem, which in fact is an attempt to treat their depression because they feel so badly they don't know what else to do, and they're taking a substance that makes them temporarily perhaps feel a little bit better.
Yeah, and that's an interesting, a good point you brought up too, because you know, it was well known that you know, Mr. Robin Williams did have an associated substance abuse problem. So how often do you think these are related? I mean, you know, it's almost almost, do you think they go hand in hand a lot? Because, you know, even as ER docs, we see a lot of problems related to alcoholism and such in the ER. And is there probably always an undercurrent of depression associated with that?
Not always, but it's well known that people who are depressed, and this can start even in adolescence, will often turn to substances. So there's a high correlation, that is, a lot of people who are depressed will also have an associated substance abuse disorder. And the problem is that this vastly increases the likelihood of their suiciding at some point because, A, the substance itself could be a potentially lethal substance. Even alcohol can kill you, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And B, they have such feelings of failure if here they've done what they could to try to get better, and they just are getting worse, and they're causing more problems in their own life and in the lives of others. Now, in Robin Williams, he was successfully, as far as we know,
right,
treated for his alcoholism, and he was well past his cocaine abuse days.
Right.
He did, of course, visit Hazelden, Oregon, recently,
right,
but as I understand it, this was kind of, I need to maintain. This is a maintenance treatment. This is not a relapse.
Right.
I'm trying to maintain or retain my health. And I frankly, personally, don't believe that he had fallen off the wagon, though I don't know the actual details.
Yeah.
But what
no.
came out yesterday is quite revealing, I think, that he had recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, no, I thought that was very interesting, too. So, you know, I'm sure that's another thing. People that have chronic illnesses or the diagnosis of a chronic illness or a serious illness like cancer, I mean, that certainly can send someone into a depression.
Well, it doesn't necessarily. It can send them into a depression. It can also increase the risk for suicide if they already have a depression.
Mm-hmm.
And in a case such as his, where he had a lifelong history of bipolar disease and depressions, and was a brilliant, active, creative person, the insult of learning that he had a disease that was going to slow him down, could even rob him of his facilities, probably was very, maybe not the final issue, but it surely probably was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes.
Because he fits the profile very well of what is now emerging as the most at-risk population for suicide, which is white males, middle-aged or older, who have any kind of a history of depression, who have any kind of a substance abuse history or current disorder, and who also have a chronic illness. He really fits every single category of those folks that are most at risk for suicide.
Yeah, and so let's tell people, so what are the things, if you had to name some things to look for in a loved one that, say that you knew they had depression, but that might tip you off that this could be becoming more serious and that you have to consider something like suicide, what would you tell people? We only have about a minute left.
Key question. People who are depressed have a lot of symptoms, of course, that are often well known to their families, like sadness, loss of pleasure in their normal daily activities, sometimes feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, guilt. They're often, however, and this is most particularly true in men and in high-achieving individuals, they develop an irritability and a kind of snappiness that makes them hard to live with. So these are things that family members of depressed people can become used to as normal behaviors. And when they should perhaps begin worrying that things are changing towards the suicidality stage is if a person who has been like this for some time and who suddenly changes their mood when there's not been a treatment intervention, when there's not been a new medication, if a person who's normally been quite withdrawn and sad.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. I want to thank my guest. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.